Good afternoon.
Welcome to St. Mark's this afternoon for our festival worship, our celebration of 50 years of ministry.
God has entrusted the good news of Jesus, the means of grace to us, and God has done miraculous things in this area, both through the men of God who served us and through you, maybe even some of those who have gone before you. We are pleased to join you in worship, to have you as our worship guests. We're also pleased to welcome our guest presiding minister and our guest preacher. We'll introduce you formally afterwards. Thank you for being here. As well as to our guest organist, thank you for sharing your gifts with us in advance, and our choir and all of our musicians. God be praised for their service to us today. The focus of our service this afternoon is that our ministry has not only been founded on the Word, but it's been focused on the cross. You take Jesus and the sacrifice he made for you off the cross and out of our ministry, and we have nothing. But since Jesus went to the cross for you and for me, we have everything. Our ministry for 50 years has been founded on the Word and focused on the cross. Focused on the cross is our focus this afternoon. The order of worship is printed for you completely in the service booklet. If you didn't get one, maybe get the attention of the ushers to make sure you are equipped for worship this afternoon. And we open with our opening hymn, hymn 177.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men among whom his favor rests.
He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty.
Our eyes have seen his salvation, which he prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to his people Israel.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Jesus Christ, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross.
In him was life, and that life.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth.
Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever.
Lord, save us.
Let us pray. O God, you have promised to be with your church forever. We thank you for those who founded St. Mark's Lutheran Church and for the signs of your favor over these past 50 years. Increase our faith, knit us together in the bonds of love, and make our fellowship an example to all people. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A lesson which serves also as the text for this afternoon's sermon from 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. This is the word of our Lord.
Rejoice and sing and
To hear the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus, I invite the congregation to please stand. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 9. Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." This is the gospel of our Lord.
blessing and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and might be to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb who was slain for the sin of the world. Amen. This afternoon we meditate upon God's word. It is written in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2. It's printed in your service folder on page 6. I'm going to read the first verse of the text. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. In Jesus' name. I wonder how many founders of any organization you could get together to start an organization that is based on utter foolishness. On a philosophy that is completely nonsensical, irrational, illogical. I wonder how many venture capitalists from the Bay Area or Silicon Valley would be interested in founding a startup company whose entire product line goes entirely contrary to the base primal human instincts. I wonder how many founders of a charitable not-for-profit organization would be interested in getting together and starting a company or an organization that is geared toward doing good, but whose core philosophy is foolishness. And yet that's exactly what happened here at St. Mark's Lutheran Church 50 years ago, maybe minus the venture capitalist part. A group of Lutherans gathered together around the Word of God, and they began to preach and teach the foolishness of the cross. That little group of Christians, together with their first pastor, Pastor Fransman, resolved to reject any worldly philosophy that contradicted the sacred words of Scripture and to build completely and only on the inerrant, inspired, infallible word of the Savior as the sole basis and foundation of faith and to keep the focus on the cross. And amazingly enough, as more and more people were drawn to the foolishness of the cross, your church grew. You built your first sanctuary. Other buildings followed. You outgrew your first sanctuary and you built a new church, this beautiful temple that is devoted to the worship of the Savior, a beautiful organ to lead the congregation in worship. Other buildings came along, classrooms, a beautiful gymnasium. Many of you who have lived through the past 50 years here at St. Mark's know much better than I do the order in which the buildings were planted and in which they sprang up. But the identity of St. Mark's has never been about the buildings, as beautiful as they may be. The identity of this congregation has always been about your focus, as you have remained focused on the cross of Jesus Christ. Pastors have come and pastors have gone. The same is true for members. But the focus of St. Mark's Lutheran Church has always been on the foolishness of the cross. Now, it might be a little bit surprising that on an occasion as special as the 50-year anniversary, we would celebrate something that the Bible crassly calls foolishness. And yet that's exactly what the Apostle Paul tells us that the gospel is. The Apostle Paul says in our text, unashamedly, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So what is it about the message of the cross that makes it appear to the world to be so utterly ludicrous? Well, to understand where the Apostle Paul is coming from, you and I have to understand how human beings naturally think. We have to get inside of our heads. And the simple fact about all of us as human beings, and it doesn't matter what your religious persuasion is, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim, it doesn't matter if you're an atheist or an agnostic or a pagan or a heathen, every single human being has written on our hearts an internal compass, an innate knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. That's the natural knowledge of God, the law that he has written on every human being's heart. That law is what makes every religion on the planet able to tell the difference between what's right and what's wrong, for the most part. Every religion on the planet can teach people how to be good employees, how to study hard to pass a test, how to be a faithful spouse, how to be a good parent, how to be honest and to be a good citizen. Any religion on the planet has a basic understanding of what's right and what's wrong, do's and don'ts, rules and regulations. Any religion, wherever you go, has this karmic idea that what goes around comes around. You get what you pay for. If you do something wrong, chances are you're going to get punished for it. It's going to come back and it's going to bite you. And if you do something good, well, then there's probably some reward that will be paid forward to you down the road. Every religion in the world has the law of God in some form, because that law of God is written on the human hearts. The law is perfectly rational, it is logical, it is understandable. The problem is that rational, logical, understandable law leaves us hopeless. The law says, do this, but I don't. The law says, don't do that, but I go and I do it anyway. I break the law. I sin. And the law itself tells me that for breaches of the law, there is just punishment. The wages of sin is death. And so that rational, logical, sensible, right and wrong, do and don't law leaves us empty and convicted and condemned. And friends, if all we had to talk about today was the law and what's right, then all I could talk to you is about an organization with its tradition for the past 50 years, and I could tell you, keep on trying harder and keep on doing better and keep on loving more and being nicer and kinder and gentler, and by the way, give more money. And hope, hope like crazy, that when you have to stand before the judge, you measure up. But thankfully, that's not what we have to celebrate today. Not do's and don'ts and rules and regulations. You and I this afternoon are focused on the cross. And the cross is not logical. The cross is evangelical. That word means gospel-centered. The cross is evangelical foolishness. The cross tells us that our standing before the judge does not depend upon what we have done to satisfy God the judge. It depends entirely upon what somebody else has done to satisfy the judge for us, and who has stepped in our place to make satisfaction before the judge. The cross of Jesus Christ tells us that the Son of God himself took on human flesh and became our brother, to place himself between the just fury and wrath of God against our sins and between us who were deserving of God's wrath. And as he bled and died on Calvary, he took upon himself all of God's just anger and the punishment that we deserved, so that with his blood, in his infinite love for sinners, he could wash us and set us free. The cross of Jesus Christ tells us that God loved you and he forgave you your sin before you and I ever did anything to earn it or deserve it or even thought about it. The cross of Jesus Christ tells us that there is no more payment for us to make. There's no give and take. There's no quid pro quo. That God, in his infinite mercy, by his pure grace, has forgiven you your sins. and that in Jesus Christ, through simple trust in your Savior, you stand beautiful and perfect and holy in his sight, dressed in his perfect righteousness. This is the foolishness of the cross. And in response to the gospel, the world does say, "Foolishness." And we reply, "Christ, the wisdom of God and power from God." The world around you says, "Christ is silly." And we say, "No, Christ is salvation. And in him are found all of the secrets of wisdom and knowledge." The unbeliever says, "That doesn't make any sense." And you and I reply, "It makes perfect sense. Not because we could ever figure it out on our own, but because the Holy Spirit of God himself has entered into our hearts and has opened our eyes to see things that those who are still in darkness can never see, and that worldly philosophy can never discern." This is the foolishness of the cross, that your sins are forgiven, that God has loved you with an everlasting love, that he doesn't treat you as your sins deserve, but has removed your transgressions from you and made you his own dear, beloved child. But friends, here at St. Mark's, you're not only about the foolishness of the cross. You are about flagrantly promoting the foolishness of the cross. Take a look around you just for a moment. Look in the sanctuary here. How many crosses can you count? We would have had two more. I asked Pastor Stray if I could use my stole that I brought with me, because mine has crosses on it and yours doesn't. My stole has more crosses than yours does. And it's not just here in the sanctuary, is it? You have a cross on the outside of your gymnasium. You have a cross not only front and center in the center of your sanctuary, but also on the outside, on the other side of that wall, pointed prominently toward the street so that passerbys can see it. The cross is part of your school logo. The cross is on your business cards and in your brochures and in your publications. For you and for me, the cross is a beautiful and precious symbol, because for you and me, it means the forgiveness of our sins. And you and I are flagrant in our promotion of the cross. We want everyone to know what we know and to believe what we believe, that in Jesus Christ there is repentance and the forgiveness of sins. If it were up to you and me on Sunday morning, the streets around here would be clogged with traffic, all making their way to St. Mark's Lutheran Church, and there wouldn't be enough parking to hold all of them. If it were up to us, every single day the sidewalks around here would be full of pedestrians, families from the neighborhood coming, bringing their children to hear the word of God, to sit at the feet of their Savior and bask in the shadow of his cross. You and I want our communities to know that we are fools for Christ, and that his cross is our focus and it is our life. The world has changed a lot in 50 years, in some ways. In other ways, the world has changed not at all. Pagan darkness, worldly philosophy, pseudoscience, pop culture, all of those things, they ebb and they flow, they change, they come and they go. But in the last 50 years, the message of the cross has changed not a bit. In fact, it hasn't changed for the last 2,000 years. The core message of Holy Scripture today is the same as it was back on that day when Jesus, our Savior, first preached, "Repent and believe the good news." That's what it's all about, a simple message. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus still today calls you and me to repent of our arrogance, of our self-centeredness, of our consumerism, of all forms of pride, of our lust, of our gossip, to repent of every sin that we've committed, to fall on our knees broken, convicted, torn down by the law. And the Word of God points us to the cross of forgiveness, to believe the good news of foolishness, that in Jesus our sins have been paid for and forgiven, because on the cross the Son of God entered heaven itself, bearing his own blood as the payment for sinners. And God, with his righteous verdict, declared every sin paid in full. You've been here for 50 years. As they say, 50 is nifty. I found this out firsthand when I had a birthday last November. But where will you go from here? What will you do for the next 50 years or until Jesus comes again? You know, there's always this temptation to think rationally, to think logically, to think the way the world thinks, to think according to worldly philosophies. There's always this temptation to think, if we could just do this or that or the other thing, whoa, that would be the magic bullet that would make St. Mark's Lutheran Church the most popular church northeast of Sacramento. There's always this temptation to think that if we can just be hip and cool and trendy enough, or if we can just be worshipful and liturgical enough, or if we can just be warm and friendly and welcoming enough, then that will be the secret key that makes the church explode in size. Now, don't misunderstand me here, friends. Be trendy in your use of technology and use every means, every worldly tool at your disposal to get the message out and proclaim the gospel. Be worshipful, be reverent in your worship. That's a good thing. Be welcoming and be friendly, because that's kind and that's loving. But above all, preach Christ. Proclaim the foolishness of the cross. Keep on bringing your babies to the baptismal font, and your children, and your adult friends, where they will receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon the head and upon the heart to mark them as redeemed children of God. And there, in the washing of holy baptism, in the name of the triune God, to receive the forgiveness of sins that was bought for them on the cross. Keep coming to receive the supper. And after you've received the true body and blood of Christ together with the bread and the wine, depart in peace under the sign of the cross, with your sins forgiven in the sacrament, and go on your way rejoicing. Be flagrant in your sharing, in your speaking, in your living Jesus to the praise and honor of his name, and continue as St. Mark's Lutheran Church to build upon the legacy that has been handed down to you over the last 50 years. 50 years of flagrant foolishness in Christ, founded upon the Word and focused on the cross. Amen. Please stand. Please join me as we confess the Christian faith this afternoon. We use Luther's explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. It's printed in your service folder on page 8. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian
We rise for prayer. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. A half century ago, you guided the leaders of our Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod as they sought to establish a congregation in Citrus Heights. You have blessed their efforts, and in your grace you have preserved St. Mark's Lutheran Church throughout its first 50 years of history. Today we gather in your house to praise you for 5 decades of blessing to this congregation. You have given us your precious word and sacraments to create and sustain the faith of the members of this congregation and your entire church. Teach us to treasure these means of grace as your gospel gifts to us. Guide us to daily study your word, frequently cherish our baptism, and regularly receive your Holy Supper, that we continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know the difficulties we endure to be faithful confessors of your name, and you call on us to take up our cross and follow you. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may boldly proclaim your judgment against sin and your saving love for all sinners in Jesus Christ. Strengthen and equip us that we fearlessly confess your name in our day and in every succeeding generation. Your word has taught us to know and believe in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. You have called us to teach the next generation your saving words and works. We thank you for allowing our congregation to establish a Christian school where your will and word are taught to our children. Bless the efforts of our school to pass the faith on to our children and to reach out to the families of our community, that many more souls may come to know and believe that your Son is their Redeemer. You call on us to work while it is day, that your elect may be brought into your kingdom and prepared for the glorious day of Christ's return. Fill our hearts with zeal to proclaim the good news of our Savior to our friends, family, neighbors, and all others whom you have placed into our lives. Impress us with urgency to reach lost souls, with confidence that your word is powerful to save, and with joy to share in your kingdom's mission. Lord, been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Your kindness and mercy to us knows no limits. As you have blessed us during the past 50 years, be with us for the next 50 years and all the years of our history yet to come, that we may receive your grace, rejoice in your salvation, and finally praise you together with your whole church at the eternal feast you have prepared for us in heaven. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We remain standing.
Thank you.
Good afternoon again, and thank you very much for joining us in worship. To our worship guests who have come, we're pleased to have you here and to celebrate the good news of Jesus, as well as the good news being here at St. Mark's for 50 years. So thank you for your efforts to be here today. We certainly want to praise and thank God for our guest organist, Pastor Gerlach, for beautifying worship, as well as our choir and our musicians. So we praise God for them. And we are honored to have with us some of the leadership of our ministry. We have our circuit pastor who oversees the more local ministry here, and we praise and thank you for your service, not only to us today, but also to our circuit. And our district president, did I say Pastor Markwart? I did not say his name. Pastor Guy Markwart, thank you. And our district president who oversees a larger area of our synod's ministry, Pastor John Buchholz, we thank you for sharing foolishness with us today. We appreciate that. It strengthened us and encouraged us. We also thank you for your service to us and to our synod. And also, we would like to, oh yeah, we can clap for them. Then we have to clap again. I would also like to praise and thank God for the many men who have faithfully served St. Mark's as men of God, who brought the good news through their ministry, probably brought the good news into your homes, maybe into hospital rooms. When God needed you the most, they delivered. So Pastor Franzman is here, Pastor Tackmeyer is here, Pastor Waterstrat is here, and also for those good reverends who served you and were not able to be here, we praise and thank God for you too. I am hungry, and I cannot wait to enjoy your company and to visit with as many of you as possible, and hopefully as many of you as possible can stick around and enjoy good food as well as enjoy some fellowship as well. We are instructed to head over to the Pear Center, to the gymnasium, and to be seated, and then when everything is ready, we'll have an opening prayer and a meal prayer, and then the afternoon and early evening will continue on. So again, thank you very much for being here, and I look forward to enjoying fellowship with you over in the parish center.